All right, good evening to all the listeners on BBS Radio and on the conference call. Thank you for being here. This is a simulcast, so every time you hear a ding like you did, there's somebody else participating on the phone line. And I welcome those people. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Dharmananda.
Dharmananda, good evening to you, brother. How are you doing?
Yeah, and you?
All right, it's fantastic. Thank you for being here.
Hey.
More people joined in. Welcome. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Hi, Cleo from Connecticut.
Good evening, Cleo. Thank you for being here. How are you?
Good. Hi. Thank you.
All right. Who else joined in? I welcome you. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Gail from New Jersey.
Hi, Gail. Good evening to you. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you.
All right. Fantastic. And I think that were the callers who just came in. Did I miss anyone? No, then I want to give the mic to Wanda from Canada. She has a cute story to tell us. Please, Wanda.
Okay. The pendants that that they sell, the special pendants, solar pendants. My little nephew, he's about 2 years old. We were in the Costco shopping, and he sees my pendant on me, and he picks it up and puts it to his ear, and he's sitting there, hello, hello, hello. He thinks because of the little white and red and the black on it, and it's silver and shiny, and he looks at it, and he thinks it's got to be a device to communicate with somebody.
Everything is these days.
Yeah, yeah.
We had somebody else join in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Carola in Medicine Hat.
Good evening, Carola. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, thanks. Bye.
All right. Thank you for being here. And you may keep your head on.
Yeah, I might have to switch to BBS after a while because sometimes my computer goes haywire and it starts messing up.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's there's like a few seconds delay for the rest. You know, it's all the same.
Yeah.
I'm going to mute myself as usual, Heinz, since everybody thinks I'm too good for it.
It keeps the lines clear. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Good evening and welcome to the Monday call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, Heist, pearls in your oysters. It's Sedona Jim.
Hello, Jim. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Hello, my friend. How are you, sir?
Yes, fantastic, man. How are you?
Good, good. I'm glad. How was the soccer game with you, with your son?
We had, two good games, one on Saturday and one on Sunday.
And I'll bet you enjoy it. I bet you enjoy it maybe even more than he does.
And maybe so. He didn't. He's doing good. He's a goalie.
Oh, great, 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 Heist. Good to hear your voice.
All right. Thanks for being here, Jim. And somebody else joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Orion in Central Oregon.
Is it Ryan from Central Oregon?
Orion.
Orion. Hello, Orion. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Just fantastic. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
I think I heard Terry Brown in the background.
Yeah, hi there.
Hi, Terry. I can barely hear you, but I recognize you, and thank you for being here.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right, now I hear you loud and clear. Thank you so much, Terry. And do I see Dr.
Uncle Terry.
Uncle Terry. Hello, Uncle Terry. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Hello, Terry and Terry.
Thank you.
Heist, it's Jim again. There's a lovely lady here who's a friend of Wynn, who's staying here for a while, and she would love to announce herself with her name.
Fantastic.
Hi,
Rock.
This is Ariel, and I'm telling the family hello. We're so blessed to be home, and thank you for all the blessings of our home.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you so much for being here, Ariel.
I'm very grateful.
Oh, fantastic. More people joined in. I'm welcome you all if you have a chance. Please say your name and location.
This is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, hi, everybody.
Hello, good evening, Don.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
All right. More people joined in. Welcome to you. Please say your name and location.
Kathy in Colorado.
Good evening, Kathy. Thank you. How are you doing?
Good, good.
All right. All right. More people joined in. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
It's Chris in Memphis.
Chris, how are you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys?
How is your health?
Oh, it's all right.
It's all right.
Yeah.
You sound good. That's important.
Yeah, I'm pretty good.
Thank you for being here, Chris. Who else joined in? We welcome you. If you want to, please say your name and location.
This is Wynn in Sedona.
All right, Mr. Free, how are you doing, Wynn?
Now, wait a second. Is it Mr. Free or is it Wynn?
I'm going to call you brother. Hey, brother, how are you doing?
All right. Did your son win a soccer game yesterday?
Yes.
He did? All right. Okay. Let's see. Oh. Did you guys tell I was falling asleep during yesterday's call?
No.
Yes.
No?
Yes.
Somebody could. That was pretty good to do it while I was half asleep, huh? Oh, my God.
I couldn't tell because I was half asleep, too.
Oh, you were.
I think you put us all half asleep.
Right.
Actually, I could only tell when you started snoring.
Did I snore?
Yes.
Uh-oh. Oh, my God. I got to get that under control. Oh, well. You know, some people fall asleep quite regularly on our calls. And, you know, that's actually a good thing because it's kind of like I believe they're clearing stuff when they're sleeping. So...
Does their energy still come through, you think?
Yeah. I mean, you know, what the heck? Terry picks up people in the astral all the time. When you're sleeping, you use most people go into the astral, okay? So, yeah. But, Terry?
Yeah. Hello?
You're not ready, are you?
No.
Dr. Freeman is with us as well, Wynn. I mean, Uncle Terry.
Are we on BBS yet?
Yep.
Actually, we're on BBS.
Hey, yes, we are.
Everyone on BBS. And, God, we're getting so many wonderful letters and emails from people that I never heard of, don't know who they are. But who are just telling me how much...
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
How much support they're getting from our calls, and I thank you all very much. And those of you, I'll say this again, those of you who are listening and who never ask a question on a Wednesday... Please take advantage of that. I give you guys first priority, even if you think it's a dumb sounding question, because usually I've observed how they will convert a dumb sounding question so it has smart sounding answer, and also they don't take your power away. It's not a psychic reading. They never say, I should have recorded this. That's great. They never say what you should do. They kind of help you click into your own intuitions so that you can make a better decision on things. And I know I'm going to be on George Norrie soon. And I know there's going to be a skillion people scrambling to get questions in. So ask one. While there's still plenty of space to get it in. That's my suggestion. Anyway, you know, when I've asked about this process early on, I asked the question, is there a benefit other than the answer to the question by asking a question and getting an answer? And the answer was surprising. I didn't, never occurred to me at the time. But what they said was that when they answer someone's question, they move into their field, their energy field, to feel the person. And then when they retreat back from the field, they leave a track so that there is the potential to make a better connection with the higher realms because you have that track there. And that is really an extraordinary thing. And we're not charging for this, so take advantage and just, you know, just see what happens if you want to. And tonight...
Let's start recording, Wynn.
What's that?
Let's start a recording.
Start the recording. Oh, then I have to get self-conscious, okay?
Okay, so we're not going to record tonight. Let's do that.
This conference is being recorded.
Oh, God, he doesn't follow orders. You see that? September 22nd, 2014, Wynn and Terry in Sedona. And Terry Friedman, are you wise?
Hold on one second. Let me open up his line. Okay, Uncle Terry.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, wonderful. Hey, listen, I'm going to unmute everybody. Terry just broke his, I shouldn't say what I was going to say. He just really stretched himself to go to his son's wedding, and he was really exhausted. He went to Denver, which was a mile high, and can we all send him a little love tonight? I'm going to open the mics to just make him feel like he's important to us. He's not going to talk, but here we go.
All callers are unmuted.
All right.
Greetings to you.
Much love to you.
We'll pray for you.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Love you, Terry.
Thank you.
Love you. Your book is fantastic.
My daughter got married.
Thank you.
In Denver,
yeah. Congratulations.
Well, yeah, congratulations.
You got married, Terry?
My daughter.
Your daughter got married. Not
married.
Your daughter, okay.
On the 13th.
Okay.
Wow.
Now, did you drink at the wedding?
No.
Don't
drink.
I'm glad. Yeah. You've never gone to AA then, right?
No.
Did you roll her up the aisle?
No, I didn't. I was rolled up the aisle, sat in the front row.
She's very blessed.
Terry was rolled up the aisle. Okay.
13's a good number.
Hey, listen, everybody's listening on the internet. I want you to send a wave if you want to. If you want to, send a wave of love to Terry Friedman, okay? As anyone that's listening on the internet or listening live, let's just take a moment and just send loving energy to him. Okay? 1, 2, 3.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Thank you. And thank you for coming in tonight, Terry. Okay. Edgar Cayce, you know, I put together... let me just say, David Wilcox never said it, but it was kind of implied, but it was obvious if the Ra Group was talking through David Wilcox that it would have seemed that it would have been the Ra Group that was speaking through Edgar Cayce. And then if we go to Carla Ruckert, she talked about the Ra Group through her talking to an Egyptian priest 10,000 B.C., and Edgar Cayce talked about an Egyptian that he had a past life as an Egyptian priest, 10,000 B.C., although Edgar Casey never talked about the Ra group. Then he started to put all those things together. Then it was pretty clear to me that it must have been the Ra group speaking through Edgar Casey. And then Edgar Casey never heard the name Ra group, but he believed it was the Christ speaking through him. And no one but me has dared to suggest that Jesus was a member of the Ra group who came here for some incarnations. And when I asked the question about that directly in one of my own sessions, they said he was. And so this is like a kind of like a breakthrough putting of stuff together that has never been brought before the public before. And you know, a lot of you say you want to channel. I know that. You think it's a great blessing to do that. And I would suggest, from all that I know now, that it's much better to say that I want to feel the energy of these good souls. I want to learn to feel their energy. I want to learn to identify their energy. Because once you learn to feel the energy, if you happen to channel, then it greatly increases the chance that your channelings are going to be positive. And if you happen to start reaching around in higher realms and a voice comes through you, how the heck are you going to know who they are? It doesn't matter who they say they are. I mean, they could say, hi, this is the Elohim, or hi, this is the Ra group, or hi, this is Jesus, or hi, this is Archangel Michael, or whatever. How do you know it's not some negative source masquerading? Because that is very common, more common than you would believe. I have the experience of that. And, you know, Clara Ruckert says, is if you really want to protect yourself from a negative source, this might be Carla, it might be Don Elkins, I can't remember, but don't ask transitory questions. Ask questions that are true 10,000 years from now, as much as they are now. Because the negative does not have interest in answering those kinds of questions. They want something out of you. They want your devotion. Any source that wants your devotion, I would look twice at. Any source that doesn't ask you to test it and to accept it blindly, I would have questions about. Because one of the reasons the negative does this kind of stuff is because they are in a higher dimension and they can tap into your energy field in this dimension. And they can get energy from you, even while they're saying loving things. And it's kind of a manipulative thing, which is so subtle, people don't miss it. Some people even say, in some churches, they use the negative spires, steeples on churches, so the negative can harvest energy. Some people say that at great sporting events, when people get very emotional, the negative harvests the energy from those events. It's so prevalent, and it's like something that no one thinks about. And, you know, there was one little section in David Wilcock, a book I wrote about David Wilcock. And let me see if I can see it here. It's on page 231. The much greater, okay, here we go. David's channelings always often were very symbolic, you know, using kind of poetic metaphors. In order to ameliorate these concerns, we have to bottleneck the interchange between those various portions of the self so that we do indeed have a cantaloupe of the higher realms where the full fruits of the spirit must be carefully prepared and then only scooped out one by one, not completely indulged in all at once. The much greater gain comes from rewarding of your desire to be of service. Don't rely too heavily on the extraterrestrial sources of information that you may think you know to exist. What is more important is the subjective variety of the illusion that is then presented to you in your own dreams, visions, and the like. We don't have to do anything grandiose or extreme. Simply become the most adept soul at rewriting the law of one into a tangible form for others that you can be, and everything will be fine. The key and critical component is indeed desire coupled with daily meditation and dream work. You do have to get through your most pressing personal issues in some tangible and creative fashion before the contact can be opened. And you have to have an incredible desire to be of service to maintain a positive contact. You cannot have self-aggrandizement. You cannot help have, God, everyone's paying attention to me because I'm channeling. Because if you have that, you will invariably get a negative source. And in the Wilcock material, they said that both Wilcock and Casey had negative sources at various times. And in the reincarnation of Edgar Casey, I brought through one of the one chapter talked about Casey's most famous prophecy, which was his, I call it his devastation prophecy, where he said, California would disappear in the wink of an eye, Europe will disappear, Tokyo will disappear, it's all going to happen after this volcano goes off in Italy. And, man, that prophecy impacted many people, including me. When I was in Berkeley and I was reading Casey, every so often I went with my friend and we said, we're going to sleep down this weekend in case this is the weekend California is going to go in the ocean. Now, through Wilcock, Wilcock's source said, through Casey, they said we tried to correct that prophecy, but nobody paid any attention to their correction because their correction was these changes will happen gradually. These changes will happen gradually. And when I studied Casey and I studied Wilcock and I heard this correction to the Casey's devastation prophecy, I had bought the whole CD-ROM of the Casey readings, and I studied that one, and it gave another name. Most of Casey's prophecies or readings were not signed. It was not given who was the source. But in this prophecy, there was a name for the source, and then I looked up all the things for that name. There were things that came up where this source had said, we are in the heavens like Christ was on your planet. In other words, they were the Christ of the heavens. And and I think there were five or six, seven different readings from that particular source. And then with the Casey readings, there was a group around Casey called the Search for God group, I believe. And they would monitor the readings and give suggestions and counsel and advice. And they came up with the idea that they didn't want to talk to this source anymore. They had his name. I don't want to say it because I don't want to even invoke them in this call. But they said, we don't want that source. We don't trust it. And let's just stick to the Christ, which is who they identified Casey's normal source with, and they did, and that was it for that source, except the devastation prophecy was Casey's most famous and repeated prophecy, even today. So this is how tricky channeling is. Even the world's most credible, documented, and famous psychic prophet had a negative source. And it's one of the reasons, you know, one of the kinds of questions that I don't like to answer is where someone asks the question as if I have the real source that can be trusted, and could we please take the inventory of some other source? And just asking a question like that is tempting a negative source through my sources. And, you know, sometimes we bend the line. Sometimes we ask things that are not true 10,000 years from now. To now, like sometimes they said things about an earthquake or where to send the light, and that's certainly in time, in current time. And I monitor these things very carefully. And sometimes people ask me, why don't we just have channelings on this call? And I'm not against that, except for the one thing that I have learned. I believe this to be true. It's the group camaraderie that we create that creates a protective energy. And if we just had channelings and asked every little detail about everything, that I would be afraid of getting a negative source. And we're not monitoring this. This is live. So, you know, one of the things that we have to our great advantage is we have Terry. And Terry is such a highly intended being and so careful. And she goes through her own kind of double-checking about everything that comes through her, making sure she feels comfortable. Sometimes when you hear her say, wait a minute, that's Terry saying, can I say that? Terry, are you there?
Here. Can you hear me?
Am I describing your process correctly?
I was just out of it. Could you summarize it in one sentence?
Good thing you didn't say, wait a minute. I said that sometimes when you say, wait a minute, you're channeling. Sometimes you're kind of evaluating their answers to make sure you're comfortable repeating it. Is that true?
Right, yeah. Every now and then, you know, like if I'm, I kind of stay to the side and, like, they might say maybe the Gulf of Mexico got colder, and then I say, wait a minute, and then they said, well, I thought what happened would make it warmer, and they say, no, it's gotten colder, and then I go, are you sure? Colder? That can't be right. And they say, well, it's... And so anyway, I go on like that sometimes, you know, and then there's a space. And then I finally just say what they said. But I'm getting over that, so I don't do that so much.
People used to think she was making it up when they heard her do that. She was making it up, right? So, early on when I was first studying Wilcock, and you notice Wilcock does not present himself as a channel to the world at this point. And I think part of the reason, you know, I can't really speak for him, but if I was going to take a guess as part of it, is he was afraid that what if I get something negative? Everyone's going to follow that. I can't correct it. The other thing is he didn't tend to want to create a support group for his channelings. And he wanted to be on his own, and he wanted to, I think he felt that he could reach more people through his scientific studies and his historical studies. And it was more logical than to be a channel. And he certainly has reached a lot of people, so I give him credit there for making that choice. But we are doing somewhat the channeling road, but not only. Obviously, these calls cover such a huge spread of material of all kinds, and some of it from my own conscious mind, some of it every Wednesday we do channelings, and, you know, people get addicted to those Wednesday calls, and I don't blame them. They're fascinating. The kind of information that comes through, the way they answer the questions, the wisdom and their answers, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like those of you that have discovered those calls know exactly what I'm talking about. And we never know what's going to come through and what's going to happen, okay? So I, early on in my study of Wilcock, when I was trying to really convince myself that he was Casey, I found a book. It was called The Politics of Hope. I found it at the Bodie Tree bookstore that was used, and it just happened to go through Casey's look at the future. And it was very fascinating. And I have that book still. And it's a pretty small book. It's like a booklet. It's got about 50 pages. It's like three chapters, politics and upheaval, world affairs, group karma in world affairs. And they were talking about the future, kind of the imminent future. And I was reading it recently, and there were many things in it that I think were relevant. And there was wisdom in it. And some of you who have studied the Ra work and studied the reincarnation of Edgar Casey might relate to the Ra energy in these sessions. And of course, the Ra energy is quite different from the Elohim energy. The Ra group is closer in. They look at things kind of more on a psychic level. They work very closely with our planet in a very real way, whereas the Elohim are more far off. They look at things from a greater distance away. They don't have the experience of being captured, but they do have the experience of watching us being captured for trillions of years. And they have the ability to translate through the frequencies of the dimensions and show up as an energy that we can feel and sometimes help with miraculous things. That's how I take it. So you can hear how the Ra group, what I believe is the Ra group, I don't want to say that like it's a foregone conclusion, but what I believe is the Ra group sounds, speaking through Casey, and these, I don't have the dates of these, but certainly they were all before 1945. And the person that put this together also made comments about all of the things that he wrote here. And I think the Ra commitment to unity consciousness, to the law of one, is inherent in a lot of what they say here. So I'm just going to read a few of these things, and we're going to see where it goes. We are part and parcel of universal consciousness, or God. Thus, we are part of all that is within the universal consciousness, or the universal awareness, the stars, the planets, the sun, the moon. And then the author's comment here, because we say that all the time. That's exactly what we say. We may choose whether, this is the author's comment, we may choose whether we rule them or they rule us. No action of any planet or the phases of the sun, the moon, or any of the heavenly bodies surpasses the rule of man's willpower. This willpower was given to man by the Creator in the beginning, when men became living souls with the power to choose for themselves. No urge, no karmic force even, surpasses the will of the entity in any given experience or choice to be made. The will of an entity or soul may rule its environment, just as it may rule the influences which arise in its daily experience. I think that's a very important thing they're saying there, and I think that's true, that each of us, by the use of our will, by the use of, he didn't say this, but I would say by the use of our visioning, by the use of our intent, can overcome karma, astrology, and limitations. Will, here's again another reading. Will is the greater factor, for it may overcome any and all other things. That's just what I said. Provided that will is made one with the pattern. No influence of heredity, environment, or whatnot surpasses the will. So there's another key. The will has to be in harmony with the pattern. I think what they mean by pattern there is the flow of the universe, and that if your will is in flow with the universal flows, then you can overcome things that seem insurmountable in your life. Okay? Man, another Casey Hughes quote, man by his compliance with divine love brings order out of chaos, or by the disregard of the association and laws of divine influence, brings chaos and destructive forces into his experience. Then the author says, thoughts of hate, malice, or jealousy bring physical conditions in individual bodies, in political groupings, in international relations, in the planet, in the solar system. Violence, turmoil, upheaval, and war are produced by our negative emotions, our hostile thoughts, our wills that cross purpose with the divine will. We have the power inherent in our nature as men to defy the divine will, to exercise our will in whatever way we choose. Or, if we think peace, we will have peace. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The choice is ours. And then Casey said, peace must begin with self before there can come action or self-application in a way to bring peace, even in thine own household, in thine own vicinity, in thine own state or nation. So, let's see. Patience, love, kindness, gentleness, long-suffering, brotherly love. There is no law against any of these. They are the law of...
Open mind, 3, 2, 1.
What happened?
What you heard, that was Dwayne. He just unmuted himself. And Dwayne, it's your karma. Just go ahead and do it as much as you want. You know, that's a guy that...
All callers are muted.
People. Yeah, okay. We just went into lecture mode, so we can't do that. We'll do that in the future on something like this. And, well, let's move on, okay? Just for those of you who are on the call, that's a guy that would come in early before the call started, and then kind of try to connect with people like he was an expert, and get their phone numbers and harass them. Okay, so you heard his voice, and just pay attention if you come into the call early. All right. The predictions concerning politics in upheaval, briefly, are as follows. You are to have turmoils. Now remember, anything that came from Casey could also be from a negative source. So we read these things for consideration, not as saying this is true. We can watch the future and see what happens. Of course, we're in the future, and we certainly are having turmoils. These turmoils will be from within. We would not, in other words, be subverted by foreign intrigues or overthrown through communist conspiracy. This is the writer's comments. Whatever happened would come from ourselves and would be something we had done to ourselves. The turmoil, conflict, violence would be of our own making. How could this be so? Next comment from Casey. The cause of strife lies in unbelief in fear. There is a lack of godliness in the hearts of some who direct the affairs of groups. Okay. So the strife, and this is something we have heard many times from our sources, that they see humanity as one energy. And they have to gauge their interventions by the way that the whole energy comes together. You know, we're just a small group, and we are making a difference. They say that. I know we are. And my work is to make this a bigger group so we can make a bigger difference, okay? Let's see here. We are part and parcel of a universal consciousness or God. Thus, we are part of all that is within the universal consciousness or the universal awareness, the stars, the planets, the sun, and the moon. Will is the greater factor. I think I read that. Will is the greater factor. Notice again. For it may overcome any and all other things, provided that will is made one with the pattern. Oh, I did read that. Okay. Patience, love, kindness, gentleness, long-suffering, brotherly love, there's no law against any of them. They are the law of consistency in the search for peace. They of themselves bring peace. Now, here's a big one. To know and not do becomes sin. To have or not know and not to do nor make practical nor make active becomes stumbling blocks. He who uses knowledge for his own personal aggrandizement does so to his own undoing. In the day ye eat or use thy knowledge for thy own aggrandizement, ye shall die. I don't know if you got that. Do you ever wonder why people are so resistant to this information? Why you can start talking and they go unconscious? To know and not to do becomes sin. That means, I think that's true. I think that's true. I think Jesus says something very similar. It's better for someone not to hear my words than to hear them and turn away. I think Jesus said, I don't have the exact quote, but he said something like that. To know and not to do becomes sin. You see, you can't take this information in and know it without assuming some responsibility for it. Otherwise, you're not getting it. Because are you your brother's keeper? Or are you not? What does that mean? That's part of the oneness of everything. So there is a calling to take that seriously and act it out. Because if you don't, then you take this information and then you think, oh my God, I know what other people don't know. I'm superior. You screw it up. And to have or not to know or not to do, nor to make practical, nor make active, becomes stumbling blocks. He who uses knowledge for his own personal aggrandizement does so to his own undoing. In the day ye eat and use thy knowledge for their own aggrandizement, ye shall die. And of course, Jesus said something like, he who dies lives, and he who lives dies. In other words, it's like, what does that mean? He who dies lives. I'm probably not getting the quote right, but it means something to the extent that when you really take in another person and you really serve them, who you are dies and becomes something new in that service. You're no longer the same person. You are recreating and restructuring your own energy field when you are being of that kind of service. And we talk about Jesus, and this is not a Christian organization, but he is a good, it's not officially Christian. Maybe it's more Christian than official ones, but it certainly takes in the nature and mission of Jesus as having a legitimacy. And of course, we have Terry Friedman, who worked with Jesus, we believe, as in his past life. So it means that can you let your ego die to really take in another person? And a lot of people, you can hear them, they won't do it. They say, oh, that's their problem. I'm not responsible for them. They don't have any money. So what? So it's their fault. And that person is missing their chance to grow. You're not supposed to sacrifice yourself at the, how would I say it? I mean, you have to leave enough food on your table. You have to leave enough money to pay your rent. And it's not only about money. It may be about time. It may be about a phone call. It may be many things. But on some level, what are you doing to be your brother's keeper? Take your inventory and see where there were opportunities for you to genuinely give that you missed, that you didn't do it. And watch for those opportunities and don't miss them the next time. Another quote from Casey, thus man may dwell together in peace and harmony, which can only come with all when all have one ideal. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, thy purpose, and thy neighbor as thyself. This is the whole law, the whole answer, the whole remedy. Of course, I'm going ahead here. I'm saying my comments on these things. And what did this author comment? Write it now. The author said, and I didn't read this. I'm just reading as I go. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes. Who is my neighbor, my brother? Whoever has faltered, whoever has fallen, whoever has need of understanding, he is my neighbor, my brother. But don't dictate, not in mind, not in purpose, not in intent, not to any. And setting classes or masses against other groups, this is not brotherly love. And also, beware of judging. Who has made me judge over my fellow man? As ye would that men should do to you, then do you even to them. This is all the Casey reading. That's not what does the world owe me, but what contribution can I make which may hasten the day of the Lord? And each person in his own respective sphere fulfill the law little by little, line upon line, here a little, there a little, each think of the other fellow instead of himself. Sow the fruits of the Spirit and have the results and leave the results to God. That is God's way. Be an example. Love self in service. Until, this is Casey, until you are willing to lose thyself in service, you may not indeed know that peace which he had promised to give to all. Unless you are willing to lose thyself in service. Are you willing to do that? Or are you just kind of coasting? How would you do that? It doesn't mean you have to divorce your wife and leave your children. There's a way within the context of your life. You know, I remember in the reincarnation of Edgar Casey, they said, see your life as it is right now as your ministry. See it as your ministry. You don't have to tell that to people. You don't have to have any official ministerial title. Just see the people around you are the people who you are ministering to. And if you're sitting there finding faults with all of them, then you're probably not doing that, because you can't be ministering to people while you're finding faults with them. You know, if you've ever noticed, I've noticed this, people that find faults with people, if you look at people in relationships, they have a relationship and they find faults with the person. They go on to the next person and they find faults with them. And they keep finding the same faults and attracting the same people. And then they say, man, the world's a bad place. I'm a victim. Why is life victimizing me? Okay, let me jump here to some of the stuff he talked about the future. I could do like three calls on this subject. Under conditions existent at the present time, all these groups and nations have come to that point in the development of the human family where there must be a reckoning. He that hath eyes to see, let him see. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That music of the coming of the Lord of this vineyard, and art thou ready to give account of that that thou hast done with thine opportunity in the earth as the sons of God, as the heirs and joint heirs of glory with the Son, then make thy path straight, for there must come an answering for that thou hast done with the Lord. For the time or period draws near for such change to come. With a new order. I don't like that he used new order there, because then it makes me think of new world order, which is not a positive. So let's assume that that's not what he meant. Could be, though. Could be that Casey was negative, but I don't think so. It behooves all who have an ideal, individuals as well as groups, societies, and organizations, to practice faithfully the application of this ideal in their experience and relationships to one another. Unless they are up and doing, indeed there must come a new order for their relationships and activities. Okay, key line, unless they are up and doing. This is not a passive exercise. There are certain fundamental principles in the very nature and thought of a nation or a people upon which the economic and the soul life must be founded. The right to pursue as an individual what will permit the soul to manifest that which it would worship in its creator. When man has faltered, when man has altered that law and has deprived others from expressing their birthright, then conditions arise which creates the fruits of evil influence in the earth. These are hate, jealousy, avarice, and the like. These, in turn, tend to create other conditions in all walks of life. Love of power, love of position, love of money. Now, since this has been exactly the experience in the affairs of our nations, as a nation, so our nation, as a nation, is going through a period when each soul must turn within and seek its own relationship to the creative forces within its own experiences. Though periods, let's see, it is well understood by some that a new order of conditions is to arise. There must be many a purging in high places as well as in low, and there must be a greater consideration of the individual so that each soul becomes his brother's keeper. Then certain circumstances will come about in political, economical, and whole relationships in which a leveling will occur or a greater comprehension of the need for it. Every phase of human experience and relationship must be taken into consideration, just as given under the ideal that we are our brother's keepers. If those in a position to give of their means, wealth, education, and position do not take these truths into consideration, then there must be that leveling which is to come. Though periods may come when there will be great stress, as brother rises against brother, as a group or sect rises against race, yet the leveling must come. And the laboring man, the daily laborer who lives by the sweat of his brow, should have the consciousness before the law equal to those who direct the lives of many. All stand as equals before the judgment bar of the Maker, and the cries of those who are oppressed goeth up to him ever. There cannot be one measuring stick for the laborer in the field and the man behind the counter, and another for the man behind the money changers. All are equal, not only under material law, but under spiritual law. And his laws, his will not come to naught. The law is universal. It applies throughout the world. For the shoeshiner may glorify God just as much as the king or president, and possibly more. Know that every other individual has as much right in the earth as you yourself have, even though in some respects he may not be as far advanced in his learning. As to the faults and attitudes, let the principle prevail that he who labors may eat, he who labors not may not eat. These are principles. And to be sure, capital also laborers. To be sure, capital. Capital also labors. I'm not sure what that means. As does he who worketh with his hands. But let any labor not be for a determinant, but for the unifying of all, it would be a greater channel of service.
Win, 655.
We got to go. Okay, I'll just read two more lines. The world as a whole has lost its ideal, and this makes for disruption and discontent. Many may not have the same idea, but all men may have the same ideal. How did the master work, talking about Jesus? Did he defy? Did he set up anything different? Did he condemn? All he gave are as one under the law of one. And grudges, schisms, isms, cults must become as naught. Okay, page 27, and maybe we'll continue this next week. It's really fascinating how it's laid out through Casey, which I believe is the Rod Group. And I'm just going to do a quick unmute, then I'm going to say goodbye, then we'll go to lecture. So our stalker on the line, I'm not going to talk about him in the future because he's an energy sucker. And when I talk about him, he says, oh, good, I'm getting to them. And it gives him some kind of sense of satisfaction. And but if it's one of the reasons we have music at the beginning, particularly for him. And he takes pleasure in disrupting us. Now, I send him love. I don't have any hostility towards him. And I'm ready to review my attitude towards him when he reviews his attitude towards us. But otherwise, he's a persona non grata, and I love you all. Thank you for being here. I'm sorry I have to end on that note, but I just want to make a very clear boundary, and we'll see you Wednesday. Get those questions in.
All callers are unmuted.
Thank you, Wynn.
Okay.
All said.
Thank you. Peace to you.
Thank you very much, Wynn.
Done.
Thank you.
Thank you, Wynn.